Money FM 89.3. Best of the evening runway. Culture Club.
Money FM 89.3, it is the evening runway. I'm Elliot Danker, and it is now time for Culture Club. And today's conversation is going to be a tasty one, because of all the meats, only one merits its own class of structure, and I'm talking about steak. A nice steak is king. Steak is what other meats wish they could be. Okay, steak earns its esteem the old-fashioned way. I mean, people don't eat it because it's healthy, cheap, or exotic. People love steak because of the way it makes them feel when they put it in their mouth. I mean, since its launch in October 2020, our next guest has established his F&B business as a steakhouse, specializing in the most basic and primitive way to enjoy a quality steak, namely a mouth-watering combination of award-winning beef that is dry-aged, of course, and then smoked to perfection. If you're looking out for it, it's located at Teluk Ayet. The Steakhouse also has a no gas service at all. And we're going to find out a little bit more about it. On the line with me is Rudy Sheikh, who is the founder of Asap & Co. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon.
Oh, wow. This is a fascinating conversation. I guess I'd like to start off by getting to know the restaurant. Asap & Co. is a Muslim-owned steakhouse. Tell me more about it.
Yeah, it's a Muslim-owned steakhouse. It's inclusive to everyone, actually. We don't sell alcohol in it, and we don't sell pork as well.
Okay. How did you discover your passion for the culinary world?
Oh yeah, the passion goes long back. I think around 10 years ago when I was working in Australia in 2012. So in Sydney to be exact, so I was freelancing myself, and my wife actually worked for oil and gas in Sydney as well. So from there, right, there's a butchery near my neighborhood. So I always hang out with the butcher, and from there I learned a lot about all the different cuts, all the different breeds, origin, what the animals feed on. And I like learn about butchering as well. So from there, we bought a few steaks back home, and we have a backyard, and the house comes with a barbecue pit. So from there, we always do steaks and invite friends over to enjoy the steaks. And from there, like, develop the craving more and more. So we always do steaks for fun, actually. Yeah. So my wife does steaks as well.
So basically something that was a little bit of a hobby to satisfy a bit of a craving turned into a business. Did you worry at that point when you were going, okay, I'm going to turn this into a business, because you're doing it as a business, will you lose your passion or your love for smoking steaks or making steaks? Did you have that worry?
Back then in Australia, I don't have that passion yet. It's like more to like, oh, we have food steak here, so we just eat steak. So when I come back to Singapore, I think it's in 3 years after staying there, so the craving starts kicking in. So we bought a barbecue pit at home, and we do it at home and invite friends. So from there, our friends tell me, hey, Rudy, let's open home dining. And from there, like, we start our home dining business, like a few months, like around 6 months during the weekend. And from there, like, more and more orders keep on coming in. Our weekend are all filled up by strangers. We don't know who are they actually. We just come over to our place and we do barbecue for them. Yeah, this is just before COVID. Yeah, when COVID starts, right? So we have to stop because the rules say that no people can do visiting anymore. So from there, we open a shop. I actually opened a shop at North Beach Road, our first shop. And from there, we started Asap & Co.
It's Rudy, just digging a bit into your personal life, I understand you're the great-grandson of Kata Sultan, who was also known as the Cattle King of Singapore. So say this is in the blood then, yeah?
Yeah, I think it's in the blood. Like, I just found out about this like a few years ago. Like,
really?
2 years ago when I was visiting my auntie.
Okay.
And she said, like, you're the great-grandson of Cattle King. Like, what? Then I did a Google and I found out, oh yeah, this is my great-grandfather actually.
Oh, okay, so it had nothing to do with that, you know, pushed you into getting into this. But previously you were in the arts scene, am I right?
Yes, I do.
Do you see a blend? I mean, it's an interesting, I guess you could say, you know, what you're doing is a form of art. People who really love your food would say that. Do you see a blend yourself personally?
Yeah, to go back in time, I study in LaSalle. I learned fine art. And from there, I worked in a few galleries all over Singapore and Australia. So from there, like, art is kind of in me, actually. And in culinary, right, art is actually the food that we eat. Like, example, the artist actually, they look through our history, do a lot of practice, and they also choose their materials wisely and a lot of research. So same goes to the chef in Asam & Co. Like, I do a lot of research and practice and choose all the correct meat to serve on the plate. Yeah, and the customer, the diners are all the visitors or the collectors, the art collectors. I could say it, yeah.
Okay.
So, interesting.
Tell us a little bit about the concept of smoking steaks.
Oh, the concept is actually smoking is actually the first method of cooking. I mean, like during the caveman time, like they have a fire, forest fire, so they have a kettle laying beside the fire, which is not burned, but it's like already smoked, and with the heat, it all like naturally cook up. So when the caveman first discovered, it's like, oh, this is nice. So from there, they start making fire of the stone and sticks, and they learn how to cook. So in Asam & Co, right, we want to bring back that time into the modern world now. We have no gas at all. So we just use wood fire, and the heat and the smoke actually just cook up the food nicely. We don't burn the food on direct fire. It's like away from the fire. So the meat just get the heat and the smoke from different type of wood logs. Yeah, I have like three different types of woodlocks: cherry, oak, and hickory. All have different characteristics.
Okay. And using award-winning beef, I'm trying not to. I'm trying to control my hunger as we chat about this conversation. I'm just looking at the menu right now. Tell us a little bit about Asap & Co's menu, and I guess give us a bit of advice if I'm going to Asap & Co for the first time. What would your recommendation be?
Oh, I would recommend you the Blackmore Wagyu. It's a full blood Wagyu. I mean, we just have this arrived last week, and this is very limited. It's not easy to get because the demand is a lot worldwide, and to get hold of the ribeye is even harder, but I have it. So award winning is not really, they have a lot of awards going on. The best Wagyu, the best full blood, the best pure breed, and the best of the best. So every year they have this competition. So I would choose only the gold or the silver one. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. You know, it's almost like, and I don't know if you've experienced this yourself. It's almost like being in Osaka where you eat Kobe beef. The attention to quality and attention to service. I mean, it comes even a point where I remember dining in this particular restaurant. I have a feeling this guy had a samurai heritage. Brought out the certificate and the name of the cow eating. Is this something that you guys do as well?
Yeah, we have the set from the Japan. Only Japanese meat does it. So every delivery, right, they come with a certificate with a QR code, so you can like scan, and from wherever you scan, right, you will tell the origin, who's the owner, and when it's slaughtered, when it's born, the year, the date, everything is precise, all there.
Wow, it's a talking point. It's like you can see the family tree as well, right? Although I don't know how some people would feel like guilty because knowing the name of the cow. That's how I felt when I was in Osaka. It's Rudy. Tell me a little bit about. I mean, considering the journey that you've been on, right? If I wanted to get into the F&B business, I mean, it's one thing to have a passion for, let's say, cupcakes, for example. What would your advice be to someone who wants to open their own F&B business?
My advice is location is very important to a lot of passerby crowd, and you have to have good service. The service is very important. Like, you want people to come back, and also marketing is very important as well. All these three things play a part, and also you must have good food. 10 people will love it. Yeah,
of course. That one is the main draw. Any chance you could share some of your personal challenges whilst, you know, opening this business? We talked about how you mentioned how you started it out during COVID. We did talk a little bit about overcoming that initial fear, but were there some challenges along the way?
Challenges, yes, I do, because coming from working in the gallery, right?
Yeah.
Everything is so clean, so quiet and spacious.
Mm-hmm.
The air is clean, cool, you know, because there's artwork, right? So
the
humidity all must be correct. And working in the kitchen, when I first started, I was in the kitchen, like, it's totally different. So I have to adapt to that environment. Smoky, and you must clean up every time. And your colleagues, chefs, so there's a bit of a language barrier.
Oh.
Like,
language barrier? Tell me more about that.
Oh, because they have this chef language, like 86 means so loud.
Right, and they are trained, and you are not. You're from fine arts, so there's a bit of transition period in that sense.
There's a lot of shortcuts.
Okay.
I mean, not shortcuts, different language they use.
Okay,
I need to learn
lingo
more.
Lingo in that sense.
Yeah, lingo.
So what is your role now? I mean, I know you yourself have experience smoking the beef, but you've got these chefs in. You're listed as founder of Asap & Co. So what does the founder do these days?
Oh, founder, we have to still check everything has to be done correctly. Supplies. I have to do a lot of research, find the best meat that I can find. Next, I'm searching for meat like from maybe Spain or Russia or South Africa. I always travel to food fair, like car food in Dubai, to get more context about different type of meat or new supplies, different farms. A lot of research actually. Yeah, and maybe. And I'm looking for another location to branch out, maybe internationally or somewhere around our region.
And of course, if you're looking for another location, just hypothetically speaking, would you be looking at locations like Dubai that it's quite similar to Singapore, but Muslim, catered to the Muslim consumer?
Yeah, maybe Dubai or Malaysia, maybe nearby here. Yeah. Because I have a lot of visitors. They travel all the way from Malaysia, Brunei, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, to Asap & Co. just to try our steak because it's smoked, so it's totally different than the rest.
I have to make an appointment to come down and try it. My gosh, this has been insightful. I've been speaking to Izzudin Sheikh, who is the founder of Asap & Co. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thank you so much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.